All right, so the concept that we're focusing on is the whole Sefer, if you remember, was established on the Pasuk of Ki Karev Elecha Adavim Ma'id B'fichu B'vav Chalasayse. This matter is exceedingly close to you. Concluding with the word La'asayse, to do it. And that La'asayse, we've learned throughout the Sefer, creates something called Hashras HaShchina. That is to say, that when a Jew does a mitzvah, they are engulfed, they're encompassed by the presence of the Shekhinah. That's going to lead to a fundamental, troubling question, which is, how do you have more God or less God in any one place? Here we've talked about the fact that everything is dependent upon the Ribbono Shel Olam's moment-to-moment creating and creation of everything. So if that's the case, then the Ribbono Shel Olam is everywhere. So how do you have... what's the point of having a greater Hashras HaShchina in one place over another place? Now, obviously, this goes to the heart of so many issues. Beis HaMikdash, Kadosh Kadoshim, Eretz Yisrael, Beis HaKnesses, going back to the basic issue of how you have more godliness going on when the Jew is doing a mitzvah or not doing a mitzvah. How do you divide godliness? What does this whole concept of presence of Shechina entail? So that's what we're going to begin here in Perek Nun Aleph. Just pull the plug. There we go. Vehine, we're on page Ayin Aleph. Vehine, the Tosef is Bir Loshen HaYinuka Dele'el. Earlier we quoted the language of the Zohar, which talked about the fact that there is Hashos HaShchina upon a person who fulfills a mitzvah. We need to explain first, to gain some insight into Inyan Hashras Hashchina, this concept of the dwelling, the presence of the Shechina. We know that primarily it dwelled, the presence of the Shechina was in the Holy of Holies. But the same is true of all other. We find numerous svarim talking about the presence of the Shekhinah. What in the world does that mean? We keep on using these words, that the entire world is filled with the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence. Or to use the language of the Zohar, there's no place which is void of Hashem's presence. So if that's the case, what's the point of having an intense place of the Shekhinah? Okay, well, they didn't call in on time, so now we will try doing that. Or anytime tomorrow. Okay. Yes, are you guys on the phone? Okay, very good, good, good. So just stay right here. Stay right here. You're on. Okay. Ach ha'inin. We're in Perek Nun Aleph, 5 lines in. Here's the concept. Now we're going to use a borrowed term to understand the larger picture. The Navi says, Mibsori echza elekai. Hey, you guys got to mute your phones, please. Mibsari, please mute your phones. Mibsari echza elekai. From my flesh, I can get to know God. And this is used throughout Sefer Kodesh, that a person's human existence can be used as a very powerful parable through which to understand how the Ribbono Shel Olam operates in his world. And here's how he says it. Especially, by the way, in Likutei Torah, the Baal Tanya is obsessed with this concept, this mashal. Shekimai, shenishmas ha'odam hi mimale kol remachi v'ariaguf. The nisham of the person suffuses all 248 limbs of the body. Mirei shevi adraglai, all the way from the head to the feet. Okay? There's nishama all over the place. The fact is, how do you know that? Because they have the ability to feel. They have the ability to move. Clearly, they're alive. If they're alive, then there must be neshama giving them life. Yet, despite that, despite the fact that the large toe has neshama. Iker mishkana v'hashra asa hi b'maychai. Nonetheless, everybody agrees and acknowledges that the main dwelling place of the neshama and its home is in the mind of the person. From the mind that spreads to all the limbs. And each limb receives from the mind the life force, the energy, which is appropriate for that given limb. What does that mean? According to its needs and its nature. For instance, ha'ayin, the eye, what kind of energy does the eye receive from the mayach? So he's saying a very fundamental insight, and that is that the energy that the eye gets is not the same neshama energy that the ear gets or that the nose gets. It's not one size fits all. The mayach sends to the eye the type of chiyus it needs to be able to see. Ha'ayin lirais, the eye gets the neshama energy that it needs to see. Ve'ha'oizen lishmaya, the ear gets the energy that it needs to hear. Ve'apel l'daber, and the mouth gets the energy to be able to speak. Ve'araglayim lahaloich, and the feet get the ability to run, to walk. K'nire b'chush. He says, I'll prove to you that it's not one size fits all, because we see clearly, shebemayach margish kol anifal b'rimach evarim b'chol akeres oisim, that there's a nervous center that is able to feel anything that goes on in any one of the limbs independently, so there is a feeling that takes place. Now, if it was one energy, how would the mind be able to come back and distinguish between foot pain and ear pain? Elamai, there is a unique flow, both back and forth, that comes, the foot is able to send the message back through the foot kaiches and send it back to the mind saying, hey, there is foot pain going on here, there's mind pain, whatever it is, there's a headache going on here. And those messages are able to be sent back because of the customization of the type of chiyus that goes forth from the mind. Guys, pass out the drinks to the fellows behind you, please. Now, Vine, he says, I want you to understand that Ein Shinui Kabbalas HaKoiches V'Achiyos Shebevari HaGuf Min HaNeshama Mitzad Atzma Mohusa. The distinction of each receiving limb is not because of the nature of the neshama itself. Meaning, the energy that comes forth from the neshama is custom tailored to the limb. The neshama is unchanged. The neshama is a generator of chiyus. Okay? He explains as follows. The distinction of these koiches and the chiyus that are in the limbs from the neshama are not different in the neshama. It's not like the neshama, huh? Upstairs. I don't know. It's not like the neshama has built into it somehow, if you were to look into it and be able to distinguish, you know, they do this with the brain now, right? That this part of the brain controls this part of the guf. And when a person, chas v'shalom, has something, then it affects a different part of the guf. He says, that's not the what's going on here. You don't have a different part of the mind controlling a different part of the body. That's what he's trying to point out. The neshama is indivisible. And yet, it's able to send out in the iris, in the energy that it send out, it's able to send out foot energy and ear energy, despite the fact that in the neshama, it's one whole organic being.
You said the moach sent out the energy before?
Neshama dwells in the moach.
Okay, we didn't say the moach sent out the neshama in such a way, misunderstood.
He explains it fairly well as he goes on.
Have you talked about this before? If you have, then you don't need to answer the question, but how can the neshama dwell anywhere if the neshama is beyond time and space?
Yeah, it's not, well, it doesn't have space. Nonetheless, it has remember he said somewhere that that's why when a person hits their head, they're affected much more than hitting any other part of the body because they're hitting the Iker Mokam Mishkan on Neshama. So there is something about the Neshama dwelling or primarily dwelling in the Mayach. But that's a very good question. I don't, you know, how do you take something that doesn't occupy space and put it somewhere?
I guess the same
would
apply by the
Shekhinah. So let's see what he says. But the distinction in the forms of energy that are coming from the neshama are not in the neshama itself. That the neshama itself, someone might suggest, is divided into 248 parts, shaynim, and those are mislab shemirmach mekaymas kefitziyo chelke mekaymi avari agov. So somebody's going to take the neshama and take it and divide it and turn it into a little miniature body, and attribute to various points of the neshama the control of various points of the gof. That is not the case. Shalafiza nimtza atzmusa umuhusa mitzuyer. Bitzir Gashmi, just like Josh just said, because that would attribute to the essence of the neshama some kind of physical form, udmus v'tavnis, some form, some shape, k'tavnis haguf chas v'shalom, like the shape of a body. No, not true. Ele kula etzem echod ruchani pashut. The neshama itself is a single organic entity which is spiritual. The mufshit mikol tzir gashmi, it is completely removed from having any physical form. Umepchina v'geder makoim, and it is removed from space. Umida in size, ugvul gashmi, and any physical limitations. Mitzad mahusa v'atzmusa, from its essence. V'loy shayich b'mahusa v'atzmusa loy mashi b'moichin sheberoish yosef m'viraglayim. You cannot say essentially that it is found any more in the mind than it is found in the feet. Why? Because he says exactly what he just said before. Me'ach sh'mahusa v'atzmusa eni b'geder b'chinas makom. Because its essence is not on the level of any space, u'gvul gashmi, on any physical form. So clearly, we need to understand, therefore, what it means. Rak. Here's the point. Shetaryag mine koichos v'chiyos klulim ba. Included in this organic whole are 613 types of forms of energy that are able to emanate from it. B'mehusa v'atzmusa. Lotzeis elapoyel v'agilui. They have the ability to come from potential to a revealed form, me'ahelim, from their concealment in the neshama, but that expression is not presented until it hits an ear, until it hits an eye. You would never know that it has that individual koyach, because it's not like within the neshama itself that there is a part of it that sends out eyesight, that sends out hearing, that sends out walking. So it's totally organic, indivisible, and yet from it are able to come out these unique kaiches, lahaches, to give life, to the 248 limbs, the 365 sinews, because you have a new fusion of the life soul. Because when the life energy, the nefesh, okay, he throws in another term here. When the nefesh meets up with the neshama, the nefesh is able to harness the unique koiches of the neshama. Okay? And the nefesh does have physical format, which allows it to pull from the neshama these forms of chiyus. Okay? V'ini alam shochos kalatariag mine koiches v'chiyus me'ahel ma'neshama elaguf. When we take now, we withdraw these 613 types of life forms from their potential in the neshama elaguf to the body. Lach yoyse, to give it its sustenance. Here we come finally to the point, to address your point. Aleha amru, about that fascinating moment of fusion, that place from which the koiches of the neshama are able to meet up with the unique powers of the body. It is about that that said, she'ike mishkan of ashrosa shalom shachazu v'gilu zeh, this moment of expression where the neshama meets these divisions of needs, of unique powers that are given to each one of the koiches aguf, that takes place b'maychin shabereish. That's what happens. The first point of revelation that there is a distinction between hearing, seeing, walking, heart, whatever it is, that moment, that point of expression begins in the mind. And that's where we get the saying that the Mishkan HaNeshama is in the mind. It doesn't refer to the Neshama anymore. The Neshama is no more in the mind than it is in the left arm. But this distinction of where it begins to branch out in the form of its custom-tailored kaiches, that takes place in the mind. Ulechein, for this reason, therefore, the mind gets the first, the best koiches, according to their needs. Shem Chabad, des Chochma bin Adas, v'koich ha-machshova, v'chol ha-shayach l'moichin. That's why the mind is able to get the best and the first koiches coming from the neshama, because they're closest to the source. V'lo zubavad, he says, I'll tell you even more. And this becomes very critical in this philosophy. The gam klolas kolam shachas achius, the share varim, even this rule that we're talking about, the withdrawal, the need, the flow of all the energy that goes to everything else in the body, gam ke klula umulaveshes b'maychin shavereish. And this is scientifically proven. It all flows through the brain. The brain becomes the control center for the growth of toenails. Everything's got to flow through the brain. Vishami ikra vishosha shalom shachazu. In the brain is the main root and source of this withdrawal. Bibchidis gilui ha'ar v'achius shalkala neshamakula. This is where the revelation, because up until this point, when all of the chiyus is in its potential form, a neshama without a goof has no revelation. It can't act on anything. It's strictly potential. The first place where it plays itself out to see, hey, there's life here, there's something going on, is that first moment of expression. If you were to look at it on an EGG or whatever that machine is called, you'd see brain activity, right? That's the first place where you could see, hey, there's a neshama here. It's playing itself out in brain waves. Umisham, from the brain, mispashetes ha'or olashar kalevaram, that's where this illumination is spread to the rest of the limbs. And each and every one of the limbs has the ability to receive the unique koiches according to its nature and its qualities, meaning the power of sight, it becomes revealed in eyes, the power to hear is in the ears, But everything flows from the brain. Kisham, who iker mishkan neshama kula bebchinas gilui, because that's where the main source of the dwelling place of the neshama is, and he stresses in a revealed way. That's where it first shows, I'm here, I'm alive. Because that's where the first revelation of the life force that spreads forth from there is. Rak. Only that we must understand. The kaiches of all of life's kaiches, of the potential of every one of those individual limbs, comes from there, l'chol evar ha'guf, to all the limbs of the body. And here he now throws in the other mashal that he keeps on referring to, k'dimya in ha'or ha'mispashet u'meir me'ashemesh, similar to the light that spreads from the sun, l'chadre chadorim, into individual rooms. Could be hundreds of thousands of miles away. But that light is all based in the sun. And then he throws in the clincher, in the brackets. Even a person's heart, mikabel me'amayach, must receive its energy from the brain. And because of that, ulechein amayach shalit alav betol desekinah. This is the reason that the Chabad philosophy places so much emphasis on working through and making sure that the philosophy is intact, because naturally the heart is going to receive all of its marching orders, all of its kaiches are going to flow from the brain to the heart. If the brain is set up properly, if the software is installed correctly on the brain, then it has the ability to truly operate the emotions the way the Rebbeinu Shlalem wants it to operate. So, Moyach Shalat al Alev, he says here, is not some fancy Hasidic footwear. Rather, it is the natural order of the human being, because the life source has to begin in the mind, flow through the heart, and from there to the rest of the Evarim. As a result, people whose brains don't control their emotions are seriously messed up in their wiring system. Because naturally speaking, the mayach should be shalit al alev.
Are you saying
the yetzer hara dwells in the heart?
The person has the neshama, and then he has a yetzer hara. I thought the neshama was the same thing.
No.
So you've got two things.
Seven, there's a whole bunch of different things going on in there.
So I mean, there's
yeah.
Two things.
Rabbi, even if it's not functioning right, the mayach is shalit al alev.
Yes, that is, well, correct. But a person has the ability, if you imagine that it's a channel, we can send stuff off in ways that it wasn't necessarily designed or intended to go. So we take anything, you take it, our intellect, right? A person can use their intellect to pursue Torah, right? Or a person can use their intellect to pursue Nourishkeit or evil, or worse yet, who has the French water? Return again. Thank you.
So it's not like a default mode that the Moach is necessarily short all it. I mean, that's what you have to work to.
No, well, you got to restore it to its intended purpose. Moach is Shalat al Alev. It's just that we can corrupt the wiring system so that it doesn't look like that. It still always is. That's what Alex is pointing out.
So the default setting, I mean, it seems to be like, let's say, like a child versus an adult. The idea is that you overcome the emotions, you know, that's sort of the way that impurity or whatever it is, we view it as, you know, a person's just totally being emotional or controlled by their emotions, and the idea is to kind of overcome that. And but also like the Chabad ideal, like, you know, it's the intellect is going to control you. You're going to be controlled by your brain as opposed to your heart, because a person, it's pretty easy to, almost seems like default is the opposite, that a person, people are emotional if they haven't worked it out.
I think that still it has to go through the process where the emotions return the messages back to the mind, and the mind is then responsive to the emotions.
I mean, right, what it should be.
No, I'm saying that's what ends up happening even when it's corrupted. It's just that the pure mind is not being shown.
The emotions are controlling the...
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, let's continue on. Kokomamish. So now that we understand with such clarity how humans operate, but now that we've got this all down, it takes people years in psychology school. We just did in 20 minutes. So now we understand that. Now we can understand all the Derech Mashal using this parable. Ein Sof Baruch Hu. Now we can understand God. He is Memalek Olamim. He suffuses all existence. Lach Yosam, to give them their sustenance, to bring them into being. And in each one of these worlds, there are infinite numbers of creations. There are hundreds of millions and types of angels and souls. And as far as even the worlds themselves, there is no limit to how many worlds there are. We must understand that in essence, the Ribbono Shel Olam's essence is Shava Bel Yonim V'Tachtonim. He is equally present above and below. K'mashal HaNeshama Now, just like the Neshama is equally found in the toenail as it is in the mind. U'Kamash Yuxibi Tikkunim, like the Tikkun HaZoyar writes, Tiyu Steam and the Kol Steam, and he is the simplicity of all simplicity. Even in the concealed worlds, Dela'ela, who's Sasa Menelam, he is totally concealed b'teicham, within them. K'meisho, who's Sasa Menelam b'tachtonim, just like he is down here. It doesn't make a difference if it's Atzilus and Bria Yitzir, it doesn't make a difference where he is. He is equally found in every one of the Olamos without any form of lack. K'leis machshavet tvisa beklal, because no mind can grasp God, even in places where he is more revealed. So again, what we're going to discuss here is not going to be where there is greater godliness, but rather where there's greater revelation of godliness. Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam is found in the worlds above, so too is he identically found in the lowest of the worlds. Oy, oy, bazoy, why are there exalted worlds and there are lowly worlds? The difference between the celestial worlds and our lower world, that all depends upon how much life source the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to draw from the concealment into what's called revelation. He says in the brackets a fabulous thing. Every time you want to refer to godly energy, the Hebrew borrowed term is Oyer. Why is it called Oyer? Because it's a borrowed term. Oyer means light, meaning it's something which has been taken out from concealment. It is tangible, so we're borrowing a term saying it's illuminated, it's visible, it's here. So we refer to godly energy as iris, because it is seen. Not that it didn't exist just as much before, it just was concealed. La'achis, elamis, va'abruim. to sustain the world and every all their creations, Shabbahim, that are in these worlds, Shalom Esel Yoinim, the higher celestial worlds, Mekablim Mibchinez Gilu Iktas Yoiser, they're able to receive their sustenance in a more revealed way, a little bit more, Me'atachtoidim, than the lower world. V'chol habruim shebehem, and every creation that exists in these worlds, mikablim kol echad kifi koichay tchunosay, each and every one of those creations in those worlds will receive their sustenance according to their tolerance level and their nature. Shutchunas abchinas hamshacha pratis, it is that individual form of withdrawal, asher in seif baruch hu mamshech hu me'eloi, that Hashem is willing to give him it according to its receiving ability. Ve'atachtoinim, but us lower worlds, afilu aruchniim, even the spiritual beings in the lower worlds, they don't have that kind of revelation. Rak b'levushim rabim, they receive their sustenance, their oir, contained in many, many concealments. Asher in Seif Baruch Hu Malbish Behem Achios, within which HaKadosh Baruch Hu encapsulates his life force. Ve'ha'or Asher Mamshich Hu Meir Lahem Lach Yosam, and the light that the Ribbono Shel Olam draws to them to give them their life. U'kamay ken atzm Lach Yosam, what is that? There is such an extreme level of garment upon garment, of concealment upon concealment, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam puts on so many coats. You know how much? Until he was able to create the what's that thing called, the Mac Burger or whatever it is. That's how dense the Levushim can become, to the point where the Rebbeinu Shel Olam creates something which is so physical. Umahaveyu machayeyu, and nonetheless the Rebbeinu Shel Olam brings it into existence and sustains it b'chiyus va'or, with the same level of life source and oir, asher mamshich umeir loy oir amalovash amuchusu muster, but it is a light which is contained, embodied, concealed, and covered. B'toicha levushim arabim v'atzumim, inside of so many, many powerful forms of hiddenness. Umastirim oir v'achiyus, and they conceal Hashem's light to such a degree, ad she'en nireh v'niglah shum or v'chiyus, to the point where when we look at it, we don't see any godliness at all. All we see is rak dvarim chumriyim v'gashmiyim. All we see are dense physical creations. V'nirim mesim, they actually appear to be totally dead and void of godliness. But we must understand, ach b'toicham, inside of all them, yesh oir v'chiyus, there is a light and a sustenance, hamahava isam, that constantly create them, me'ayin l'yesh, from nothingness into something, tamid, shleyach z'liyas, ayin v'efes, because otherwise they would cease to exist, kishahayu, just as they were a moment before they were created. This air that sustains and gives something its existence comes from the infinite. It is contained in many garments. Like the Arizal writes, that the life of this globe, it is from Malchus of Malchus of Asiya. Ubetoicha Malchus the Yetzira. Contained within that is the Malchus of Yetzira. Ad shebetoich kulon yud sviris da atzidis ham yuchadis b'matzilin in Tzei Baruch Hu. Until You take off layer after layer after layer, and inside of that final layer is the absolute godliness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu emanates from himself. So there's no difference vis-a-vis God from his presence in the lowest place in Adam Hazeh, Times Square, to Lahavdil Elef Alfi Avdoth and the Kedusha Kedusha. They both have the same Kedusha. Only thing is, in one place there is greater revelation of that Kedusha, and in the other place there's terrible concealment of that Kedusha. But from Hashem's vantage point, there is no difference whatsoever between that place and this place. And the same applies to people. So the lowest person and the greatest tzaddik have the same sustenance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just that in one person it's revealed, and in the other person it's concealed. And the same applies to time. Yom Kippur and Lahavdil Tisha B'Av have the same level of godliness. It's just that on Yom Kippur there's greater revelation of it, and on Tisha B'Av there's greater concealment. But all of that is from looking at it from our vantage point versus the truth of it, which is how it emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those are worlds apart.
That person, that individual, affects how much revelation or how little revelation there is by a person's choices, by other these
examples. No question. We talked about that. We quoted that from the Derech HaMelech from the Piasetzne. Puts it into very graphic terms, very beautiful. He says that all of us have all five levels of neshama. Okay? We all have nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida. But we control, there's a control based upon our conduct as to how much we let into our being and how much hovers above us. So there are times when we and our pets are on the same level. All we have is the nefesh that keeps us alive. And then by Yom Kippur, by Nila, we contain, you know, the level of Yechida. There could be the most exalted levels. And basically, throughout the day, we can fluctuate all over the board. Sometimes we have within us a much greater, and it creates greater awareness of right and wrong. When those levels on the Shema are within us, a person can all of a sudden have a sensitivity to something that they had no sensitivity to before. Conversely, you know, when a person stoops and falls, then they lose that level of sensitivity completely.
What do I control is those, that revelation in these other issues that are not a person.
So there it's much more difficult. Outside, again, so the Svarim talk about, and you find it even in Chazal, that the things that come into the possession of a tzaddik, right? They said, we just had it in last week's parasha with the Pachim Ketanim, where Yaakov Avinu felt that due to the fact that those jugs came into his possession, that they had Kedusha that was relevant to him, that only he could take care of, whereas the, you know, the possessions of somebody who is lesser, that doesn't necessarily have that same level of achrayus.
Same by the...